Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida.
1 Corinthians chapter 15. The last 2 weeks I've been in these four verses, and I got to move on. But let me one more time look at these four verses in a little more detail than I had the last couple of times. A couple of weeks I've been with you. The first four verses, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Then it goes on, we'll look at that next week, of all the witnesses of his resurrection of Christ when he rose from the dead, and he walked on this earth for 40 days and he ascended into the heaven. But notice again that first word in verse number 15, chapter 15, verse number 1, the word moreover. That word moreover would be the same word that we would use the word now, N-O-W. It's the thing where Paul, I mentioned this last week, where Paul now is changing the subject matter. He all through the first 14 chapters of the book of Corinthians, he talked different subject matters. Remember about marriage, divorce, remarriage, things offered to idols, spiritual gifts, other things like that. So he had different subject matters. Now he comes to this one about the resurrection. So he uses that word moreover, just kind of a change of direction now. He's introducing a subject matter. Then that next word, brethren, reminding them of their common relationship in Christ. Now, it wasn't, again, just to the brethren. Of course, it was to the church there, how he addressed it to the church at Corinth. Just letting them know, hey, I know there's some problems in the church, and even there are some in the church that people are bringing into churches false doctrine about resurrection. There's no resurrection. So he reminds them we're brothers in Christ. And then he said, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. The word declare means to make known. To make know, I declare unto you the gospel. We defined that word gospel a couple weeks ago. The word gospel means the good news and glad tidings. And it is good news for those who hear it. But for those who've never heard, she's sitting behind Melinda. Is it Melissa? Her son-in-law? Well, he was in Alaska. Was that your son-in-law? Son-in-law. Is it Melissa, your name? I was close. It was in the Emma category. Martha. All right. Her son-in-law was in Alaska, way up in the bush, sharing the gospel in Alaska with people who've never heard. She was sharing that with me. Can you imagine even in the United States of America, people have never heard, even though Asker, the Eskimos, I mean, way up there, but evidently he's way up, somewhere up there in Alaska for a couple of weeks sharing the gospel. And it's good news to those who've heard. Let me make a statement. I think I mentioned this here a couple of weeks ago. When I was in South Sudan, I had a great time when we were in South Sudan. I was telling Ernie this morning, Ernie's with us, and he's been there a few times. And those fellas asked some very, very intelligent questions, talking about the preachers there. And one of the questions they asked me, said, Pastor, what about those people who've never heard the gospel and they die? What happens to them? People who've never heard. It's a great question. And so I explained to them, as the best way I knew, know how, that without trusting Christ as their Savior, they'll die and they'll go to hell. And I shared with some verses. I said, that's why we must go and tell them. Amen. So I turned it around the other way. I said, if they don't die and go to hell because they've not heard the gospel, would we not be doing them a disservice by telling them the gospel? And they looked at me and they said, yeah, that kind of makes sense to me. We're better if they didn't die and go to hell, we'd be better off not sharing the gospel with anybody. That's right. That's kind of convoluted logic, but you get the point. Sure. So the gospel that is good news to those who hear it and prayerfully it gets there in time. So he says, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you. Again, remember, he was there in the city of Corinth, went there for about 18 months. And while he was there, he preached that gospel message, and he's reminded them that the message has not changed. The same message that Paul preached a couple thousand years ago is still the same message that we preach today. Salvation, the plan of salvation has never changed. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and for the last person who ever will be saved, it's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So he reminds them that, which also you received. In other words, you have believed, you received that message that I preached to you. You heard it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They heard it. They received it, and they believed it. Then he says, and wherein you stand. And again, he was actually a great compliment, because they believed, not only believed and accepted the message, but they stood upon their faith in the gospel. In spite of all their failures and their problems that he had outlined those first 14 chapters, boy, did they have a lot of problems. They stood firm in their faith, the truth of the gospel. There was no shaking them. And that's why he said that wherein you stand, they did not waver from the truth of the gospel, which tells me a lot of things, by the way. We have to be very careful how we talk about other churches, that just because they don't dot every I and cross every T like we do doctrinally does not mean they're not one of the Lord's churches. Amen, preacher. Now, I'm treading in deep territory here. Just because they don't have the name, and I'm a Baptist through and through. But just because they don't have the name Baptist on their door does not mean that they're not one of the Lord's churches.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. I'll go a little set. Just because they have the name Baptist on the door does not make them one of the Lord's churches.
That's right. That's also right. That's right.
That's the best amen I've had in weeks. Okay. It's important to identify who you are. It's very important. At the same time, Paul was commending them. They had a lot of problems, man. They were observing the Lord's Supper wrong. Us in our Landmark Missionary Baptist, man, we would have excluded those people, and you know what I'm saying? At arm's length. But Paul said, no, you're one of the Lord's. Remember the seven churches of Asia? I get to go there here in a couple months there in Ephesus and some other places. Boy, they had a lot of problems. A lot of problems. And the Lord said, listen, if you don't straighten up, I will remove your
candlestick.
And boy, we would already have said, you're not. They're still one of the Lord's churches. Even though it didn't dot every I and cross. You know what I'm saying? It dot every I and cross empty like we would. You better watch it. Compare yourselves, ourselves among others and all. But he is commending them wherein you stand. And then this is interesting. By which also ye are saved. Now, this is interesting. This phrase, which ye are saved, it's in the present tense, not the past tense. He's not talking about the salvation when they trusted Christ as their Savior here. Because he says, if you keep in memory. So in other words, he's not saying you're going to lose your salvation that you got in the past. What he's telling them that presently, remember, let me explain it this way. I've said often from this pulpit, and I've had other preachers, they listen to me on radio and others and comment, and they still scratch their head about this. That when it talks about salvation in Scripture, there's past, there's present, and there's future salvation. The past of salvation is when we are birthed into the family of God. I have been saved. You must be born again. That's salvation on our way to heaven. That's past tense. Once saved, always saved.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.